I want to speak to you this morning. Can you see what Gabriel saw? Can you see what Gabriel saw? And if I can help you this morning see what Gabriel saw, make this Christmas really special. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused, engaged, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you set before us this morning. We thank you for the presence of the Lord that we feel and sense and know by faith is with us. We thank you, Lord, for the worship, for the praise that's gone up. Now, Lord, we turn our attention to the word of God, and we ask you, Lord, to speak to us from your word this morning. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There are 294 references in the Bible to angels. Angels are a common theme throughout the Word of God. They are very active in the earth. We see angels operating throughout the Bible. We see them at the Red Sea. We see angels feeding Elijah. We see angels shutting the mouths of the lions when Daniel was in the lion's den. We see angels saving Paul from the shipwreck when he said, God has sent his angel in the night and he's stood by me. And they are active today. Angels are actively working in the earth, doing the work of the Lord. Psalms 91:11 says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Hebrews 13:2 says, be careful when you're entertaining strangers, for by doing so, some have unknowingly entertained angels. That you never know when you're having that encounter with an angel. Two angels are named in the Bible, Gabriel and Michael. The book of Enoch calls them both archangels, but only Michael is called an archangel in the Bible that you have today. But the book of Enoch is referred to in the book of Jude as a reliable source and is honored. So we might consider from the book of Enoch that there are two archangels. The Bible says that at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first with the shout of God. It says, and the voice of the archangel. So there is an archangel that is going to make an announcement at the coming of the Lord, at the rapture. That's probably Gabriel. He was an announcing angel. He was always making grand announcements, and his announcements were always about the coming of the Lord. His announcements were always about the Messiah and the coming of the Lord. So we see Gabriel fulfilling this powerful role. Now, Michael was a little different. Every time we see Michael, he's fighting. He's a warrior. He's a warrior angel. He's an archangel, but he's a warrior angel. He was called the Prince of Israel. Daniel called him a great prince. Use that term, Michael, the great prince. The Bible says that he fought over the body or the soul of Moses. He fought against the great dragon, which is Lucifer in the book of Revelation. He fought against the prince of Persia when the angel was bringing the answer to Daniel's prayer and he couldn't get through because a demonic presence was fighting the answer to prayer, which is a lesson for you to keep praying. And 21 days, Daniel waited for the answer to the prayer, and finally it came through. And they told him, Daniel, the answer was sent the first day you prayed, but there was demonic resistance that kept us from getting through. But Michael, that powerful archangel, was dispatched from heaven and was sent to get the message through and to move the prince of Persia out of the way. But we're not here this morning to talk about Michael. We want to talk about Gabriel. Gabriel's name means God is my strength or God is great. It's a powerful name, Gabriel. Gabriel was there at creation. Job 38 says, verses 4 and 7, "Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." When God created everything, when he spoke the universe into existence, the sons of God sang for joy. All the angelic host, hundreds of millions of them, the Bible says that they are innumerable. You cannot count them. There is such a large host of them. And they all begin to sing at creation. And I can guarantee you, Gabriel was one of them. He was there. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, Gabriel appears again. And in the book of Daniel, it says, Daniel fell prostrate in fear at the sight of him. That he was a terrifying, strong man who appeared to Daniel. In fact, the Bible says Daniel was sick for days after just looking at him and being in his presence. This is Gabriel we're talking about. The next time Gabriel shows up, he is sent to Zechariah. Zechariah would be the father of the cousin of Jesus, John the Baptist, the wife to Elizabeth. And Zechariah, this is interesting. Let me give you a little thing, a little side part. Zechariah was a priest after the order of the division of Abijah. And he was serving his time in the temple when the angel appeared to him. There were 24 divisions, and Abijah is the 8th division. So because of that, we know what time of year that Zechariah was in the temple when the angel came to him. This meant that Zechariah was serving in the 10th week of the year, the 10th week after Nisan, and that's not counting Passover and not counting Pentecost, because all the priests served at Passover and Pentecost, and then the rest of the year, they also all served at Tabernacles, but the rest of the year, they took turns. So Zechariah's turn would have been the 10th week after Nisan, not counting those other holidays. So that means it was in the month of June, which is in the Hebrew, in the Jewish calendar, is the month of Sivan. So in the month of Sivan, or in the month of June, the angel Gabriel showed up to talk to Zechariah. Now those things tell us some other things too. It was in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the Bible says, and in the 6th month the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. So that tells us something. The 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy would be the month of Kislev. That's our December. And that's when the angel appeared to Mary. Jesus probably wasn't born at Christmas, but he most likely was conceived during Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights. And so when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the time of year in which he was conceived, which means John was born at Passover because he came in the spirit of Elijah. He fulfilled that prophecy. And Jesus was born at Tabernacles, which means the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Amen. God is so good at what he does. Amen. Hallelujah. So he came to Zechariah. And listen to this encounter. Zechariah said to the angel, he told him, "You and Elizabeth are going to have a baby." Now they're old, right? And Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I know this? I can't believe this. For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." Now I want you to, this terrifying angel that appeared before Daniel, I want you to listen to what he says, because this will leap out at you. Basically, Zechariah is saying, "I don't believe you. I'm old. My wife is old. We're not having any babies." And Gabriel looked at him and said, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. But because you have not believed, you will be mute and not able to speak until these things are fulfilled, because you did not believe my words." It almost looks from this scripture that Gabriel had the authority and power to just do that. Because Zechariah didn't believe, Gabriel said, "Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to silence you. for 9 months. You don't need to be talking anyway. Talking unbelief like that. Amen? I think there's a sermon right there. But now comes his greatest assignment. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel came to a town in Nazareth called Bethlehem to a virgin who was betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And her name was Mary. And he said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And his name shall be called Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said, "How can this be? I'm not married. I've never been with a man. It's not possible for this to take place." And the angel said unto her, "Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the glory of the Highest will overshadow you. And the Holy One who shall be conceived in you shall be called the Son of God." Now, your cousin Elizabeth, who is barren and who is old, is in her 6th month of pregnancy. She who was called barren. And he was telling her this to show her that God can do anything. And then he said, "Mary," and I love this part. This is really what my message is. "Mary, with God, all things are possible." Amen. What did Gabriel see that I need to see? The first thing Gabriel saw was the favor of God. The Bible says that even the angels desire to look into these matters of salvation. They're curious about the mystery of God so loving human people and becoming one with us. Mary, who was probably between 14 and 17, most likely, in that age, this little girl in a town called Nazareth, where the Bible says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" It was a scorned place, but God looked down and found this young lady, and she found favor with him. Now, she found favor with him not because she was his favorite, because God doesn't have favorites. And you know how I know that? Well, for one thing, the Bible says he's no respecter of persons. But the other way I know is because there is a man named Peter in the book of Acts who thought God had favorites. And in the book of Acts, we find out that Peter thought God played favorites until he saw the Holy Spirit come upon people that he did not think it was possible. And out of Peter's mouth, he said, I now know that God has no favorites, that he loves everybody. And I want you to know, Mary was favored because of Jesus. Mary found favor because of the Son of God. And all of you here have found favor in the sight of God. The Bible says, peace to the angels. He said, and they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock at night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And it says, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. But after the angel had spoken to him, it says, and suddenly there was a great angelic choir that sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and listen, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." At Christmas time, we like to talk about peace. And you hear that word thrown around a lot, peace, there ought to be peace. He wasn't talking about peace on earth between nations or between people. When he said, here's the good news, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. He was saying there is now peace between heaven and earth. He was now saying there is peace between you and God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the favor of the Lord. God loves you. We walk around sometimes in fear of God or worried about God loves you. God is for you. If God be for us, then who can be against us? God is pulling for you. God is for you. God loves you. So you can know this Christmas, see what Gabriel saw, the favor of God. But he also saw something else. He saw the faithfulness of God. Mary knew that both she and Joseph were descendants of David. They were descendants of Jacob, Judah, and Abraham. Mary would have been taught this her whole life. Mary knew that God had promised her ancestor Abraham that he would become a great nation. Mary knew that the promises of God made to her father, Judah, she knew all about that because they were from the tribe of Judah. Mary knew that God had made promises to her forefather, Jacob. Mary knew the promises that God had made to her forefather, David, the great king of Israel. And her and Joseph were in the direct line and lineage of David. If they were looking for a biological heir to the throne, Yeshua, son of Joseph and Mary in Nazareth, probably fit the biological requirements better than anybody else alive at that time. He was the rightful heir and king to the throne of David. And Mary probably had some sense of that. But do you see what Gabriel was revealing when he said to Mary, his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and he will rule over the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Gabriel, you see what he was revealing? He was revealing to her that God is faithful to his word. Gabriel was revealing that when God makes a promise, he keeps his word, even if it's thousands of years later. Gabriel was revealing that when God makes a promise to somebody, he keeps his word, even if it's not in his or her lifetime. Gabriel was revealing that when God says he'll do something, you can bank on it. Amen? We have a difficult time waiting on God. We live in a fast-paced world. Everybody's in a hurry, you know? We now have drive-thrus because we didn't want to take the time to go in and do anything. So we drive through to pick up our food, and next thing we'll do is just drive by with our mouth open and let them throw it in as we go by. We have a difficult time waiting. And we have a difficult time waiting on God. We tend to look at things through a short perspective. We look at God in terms of minutes and hours, maybe days, maybe weeks, but not in terms of thousands of years. Folks, God sees a much bigger picture than you see. God sees eternity. The Bible says he sees the beginning from the end. He knows more about your life and what you need and where you're at than you'll ever know. That's why it's so important that we trust him. Most of us can admit that we give up praying for things in a very short time. We quit. We give up. Most of us will admit there are very few things that we're willing to continue praying for over the course of weeks or days or months, much less 70 or 80 years. To us, 70 or 80 years can seem like an eternity. To God, 70 or 80 years are nothing. Gabriel revealed that God keeps his promises long after many forget. God keeps his promises even though many have given up hope. And in the darkness of that time when Rome was in control of Israel and many had given up hope, in the darkness in which they lived, in the middle of that darkness, that baby was born and God kept his promise. Amen. So do you see what Gabriel saw? We all need to see that God is faithful. We need to see that God keeps his word. We need to see that God keeps his promises. We need to see that God keeps his promises even if I don't see it in my lifetime. We need to see that God keeps his promises no matter how long it takes. And the last thing he saw was he saw the fullness of God. He saw the fullness of God. And I want you to see the fullness. I want you to see his favor. I want you to see his faithfulness, but I want you to see the fullness of God. When Mary said, "How can this be? This seems impossible to me. I hear what you're saying, but it seems so impossible." Gabriel must have smiled. Because Gabriel knew things Mary didn't know. Folks, let this sink into your spirit. Gabriel had seen things Mary could only dream about. And when she said, she's basically saying, "I hear you, but I don't know if even God could do that. I don't know if even God could make a virgin have a baby. It seems impossible." And Gabriel said, "Mary, nothing is impossible with God." How did he know? He saw it. You think of the things that Gabriel saw. He sang with the sons of God at creation. Amen. You think of the things that Gabriel witnessed. And he could stand there and say, "Mary, this is easy. I've seen what he can do. I've seen his glory. I've seen his power. I've seen the miracles. Mary, this is easy. This is nothing." He could have said, "Mary, I was there when God spoke and called the universe into existence. So I know he can make a child come from a virgin. Mary, I was there when he breathed into Adam the breath of life and he became out of the dust of the earth. I was there, so I know he can give you a child. Mary, if he had the power to part the Red Sea so the Israelites could cross on dry ground, I know he can do this. Mary, if he could speak words and call a universe into existence, I know he can do this. Mary, if he had the power to send fire and burn up a heavenly soap pile that was soaked with water, I know he can do this. If he had the power to make the sun go backwards, Mary, I know he can do this. If he had the power to raise people from the dead, I know he can do this. I've seen what he can do. And Mary, this is nothing." So you can see why Gabriel said, "Mary, everything is possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I've seen it. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. It's where I live. I've seen his power. This is nothing." So many people have trouble. It's amazing to me the people that struggle with the miracle of a virgin birth. We're talking about a God that holds worlds in his hands. We're talking about a God that took dust of the earth and breathed life into it and made a man. I don't think creating a baby in somebody's womb was a problem. So think about it. If that statement is not true and he can't do the impossible, then he wouldn't be God. If God couldn't do things that are impossible to men, then he wouldn't be God. Ephesians 3:20 says God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine. According to his power, listen to this, according to his power that is working in us. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you something. Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the glory of the highest will overshadow you. And that Holy One who shall be conceived in you shall be called the Son of God. Do you know what happens when you become a son of God? The Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the glory of the highest overshadows you. God was working in Mary. But God is working in you. I just read you the verse, according to the power that works in you, which is God can do even more than we possibly think or imagine. God can do more than we can dream. God can do immeasurably more than we can ask. And that verse says, from the power that is working within you. And Gabriel revealed the truth of that verse. God is able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. And you have that same power working within you. Is that verse true or not? Amen? It's the word of God. Amen? It's either true in your life or mine, or it's not true at all. But it is true. It's the word of God. Let me ask you something. Have you discovered God's power to do the impossible in your life? I want to ask that question again. Have you discovered the power of God to do the impossible in your life? Have you seen God do the impossible? If you haven't, then you need to begin asking God to do something humanly impossible in your life. He said more than we can ask or imagine. Folks, you're not asking big enough. You're not dreaming big enough. You're not imagining big enough. Your God's too small. You serve a big God. Gabriel testified to it. He said God can do anything. Nothing is impossible. Church, we need to start thinking bigger. We need to start dreaming bigger. We need to start imagining more. We need to start asking more. Ask God to do something no human can do and watch His power work in your life. The power of God was not reserved for Mary only, but for all of us. You can discover God's fullness in your life. Dare to believe for the impossible. Know that you have found favor in the sight of God. Amen? You quit walking around acting like you're unworthy. You quit walking around acting like you don't belong. You quit walking around like you're a failure and God's kicked you to the curb. You have favor with God. The second thing, God is faithful. He's made promises to you. The promises of God are yea and amen. They are true. God will keep His promise. And third, you see the fullness of God. That is the completion of the promise to dare to believe for the impossible. Oh, can you see what Gabriel saw? It takes eyes of faith. Because Gabriel could see. He could see things we only dream about. But he could see it. And he told Mary, Mary, just like he told Zechariah. Zechariah, do you know who you're talking to? I don't think you do. Did I just hear you say you don't believe this can happen? Did I hear you say that? I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. Don't tell me something's impossible. You hear that, church? Mary, with God, all things are possible. Amen. Let's stand together.